This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. How well do you remember 2008 when the Great Recession hit? It was a gloomy time, both for our own personal finances and for the things we saw around us. Businesses closed, new growth stalled, and a sense of certainty was shaken. So it came as a surprise to many a short time later when the news came of a huge new mixed-use development on the western edge of Wauwatosa. The first phase of the Mayfair Collection development off U.S. 45 at Burleigh is under construction now. The project is converting old manufacturing and warehouse space to a shopping center, and some are viewing it as precedent-setting in the Milwaukee area. Tim Blum is Executive Vice President at HSA Commercial Real Estate, which is developing the project. Craig Wilson is the alderman representing that area on the Wauwatosa Common Council. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Why is this development so significant? In your eyes, what makes it different than other shopping center projects that have happened or are already happening in the city of Milwaukee and the area?
Wauwatosa obviously is a high barrier of entry community, very diverse from a socioeconomic background, also from a job generation perspective with the Research Park Medical District that's situated in Wauwatosa, along with Mayfair Mall, which is the preeminent mall not only in the city of Milwaukee, but the entire state. So that was our initial interest in acquiring or assembling this 69 acres at Highway 45 and Burleigh. We started assembling the site in 2005 with our last acquisition in 2007. In looking at this site, we paid a great deal of attention to the city's master plan and tried to fulfill the spirit of that plan with a couple of different schemes, concepts over the years. After 2008, those plans changed quite a bit. And that forced us to look creatively at adaptive reuse as a way of kicking off at least the initial phase.
But when you first started conceiving of this, did you have thoughts towards creating something from the ground up?
We did. The initial idea was to scrape the entire site and build a grand mixed-use project that was very similar to what you would see in the city's master plan. So we had put forth a couple of plans. We're getting ready to move forward, and then 2008 came along and tabled those plans, but we weren't alone, obviously. One of our unique skill sets as a company is our ability to recycle existing real estate, and we've done that in a number of instances in Chicago. In looking, reevaluating the buildings that were on the site, we determined that we could recycle them for, at least in this initial phase, for retail purposes. They're obsolete as far as warehouse, traditional conventional warehouse needs, but for retail, the bones of the building were perfectly fine. So we use that as a tool in order to value engineer our rents to an acceptable level that would attract good quality merchants to the project. And that was the other, I think, salient part of the plan. We wanted to create a shopping environment that was unique. So we targeted specifically best-in-class fashion promotional type tenants such as Nordstrom Rack, Saks OFF 5TH, Dick's Sporting Goods, so on and so forth. So we're very diligent in terms of maintaining the integrity of that tenant mix. And what it does is it plays off of Mayfair Mall. And those promotional tenants that were looking to enter the greater Milwaukee area typically like to locate in and around the Wauwatosa area.
Well, and so then let me throw this question at you, Craig Wilson. You represent the district that this development is going to be in on the Wauwatosa Common Council, but it is going to serve shoppers clearly from well outside the city limits of Wauwatosa. In a project of this scale, how do you weigh what's right for the city and what's wanted by the people that live outside the city?
Well, it's actually pretty easy to find common goals here. You know, I live around the corner from this site, as do a number of other elected officials and city officials. And the inside joke for a while was that when your mother-in-law comes to town, you don't let her get off on that exit. You have her come up a mile or two so nobody sees it, because it is in the middle of the city, middle of the west side of the city, just down the road from the section of Mayfair Road that's, you know, comprises Mayfair Mall and a lot of reinvention that's gone along there. And it's been really strong pattern of growth and expansion on that part south of Burleigh. And as these properties opened up, even before Tim and his partners came in and started acquiring the site, the city had an eye on it and knew that something needed to happen. It's a great location to start with to kind of reinvent that side of Wauwatosa, because there's a stretch that it's about equivalent to the land that lies between Miller Park and the Harley-Davidson Museum. So the redevelopment area that occurred along Canal Street and in the Menominee Valley.
This is like Wauwatosa's very own Menominee Valley.
It's almost identical in size. You've got some of the same barriers. You've got Highway 45 on one side and a river and some train tracks on the other. North to south, it's just about the same length. And it's all 50s, 60s era kind of warehousing industrial properties that more and more companies are deciding they don't need that kind of building, they don't need that kind of layout. It's not like an old house where somebody will move in and rework the walls a little bit and decide this is what we can use for our factory. They really need something different when they come in. And it's also unlikely that we're going to fill in that entire stretch with only kind of heavy commercial and industrial users. There's going to be other types of uses in there. So as you mentioned, the neighbors and people who've been keeping an eye on it for a long time have always thought it's great for, you know, residential and some shopping and some business use, some office park, something like that. And how to find the right mix is the question. As Tim alluded to earlier, there are economics that drive that. The city's not in a position to kind of spec build a new mixed-use development and hope that people move in. And, you know, so it was great when Tim came in, his phase one plan, which happens to be retail, and it does tie in nicely and really complements what's going on down the road on Mayfair. And we'll draw kind of that regional attention, which is terrific, because this spot is located such that while it's in the middle of the city, it's still along Highway 45 and is kind of a gateway property. So it's great to be able to plant the seed there for future expansion.
Well, and moreover, would you see this as kind of precedent setting for the whole Milwaukee area? I mean, this is a pretty wide-ranging change in use for a very industrial and manufacturing area. And, I mean, it almost seems emblematic of what's happening across southeastern Wisconsin. Would you imagine that a development like this in a place like Wauwatosa could spur the next development in some other suburb?
I think so. I think this is the model for what's going to need to happen with a lot of the suburbs and a lot of it's similar to what the city of Milwaukee has done in some places, although they have much different resources and much different needs and approaches. You know, I mentioned the Menominee Valley, where there is a defined effort to pick up land and decide how to reinvent that the city led. Here, Wauwatosa didn't have quite the same approach. But at the same time, you know, what we're going through is reflective of what a lot of the inner ring suburbs have, where there's no farmland that we can acquire and annex and build on, and rightly so. We've got the land, and it's good land, and, you know, some good buildings even that we can reuse. So it's I think, better to focus on how to kind of grow things better around you rather than, you know, stretch out and try and find a new place.
You've been involved in developments of all stripes, really. Is this becoming more common, the repurposing of existing structures?
I think so. We've been doing it for better part of 20 years over at HSA, as opposed to going out and finding a 50-acre cornfield and building new and providing all that infrastructure. I think the trend is being largely driven by users demanding lower rents, and that might be changing a little bit currently, but generally speaking, tenants, no matter if they're retail, office, industrial, are looking for rents that are generally below new construction pricing. So adaptive reuse is something that I think is going to become more and more prevalent. It just so happens this is an ideal situation for that. This first phase will open in April. That's when we're anticipating the grand opening. And it's already leading into a subsequent phase, which will be coming into the city shortly with an organic grocer, a hotel, some more restaurants. And we think this will be the platform which will start to introduce residential and potentially some office. So this is a 5 to 10 year program, and we feel the way we're sequencing the phases, we're creating what the planners call that walkable sense of community by introducing the retail first and giving potential apartment dwellers something interesting to experience rather than just starting with a residential project and experiencing warehousing.
25 years ago, cities were still looking at building new indoor shopping malls, but the rule seems to be these outdoor centers rather than these being the exception. What's driving the change in what shopping centers look and feel like?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that whole dynamic is still evolving where, you know, the idea of tenants, retail tenants in particular, searching for value is in turn being driven by their customers searching for value. And that's why I think you're seeing all the particular manufacturer outlet type of facilities coming on stream of late. But that doesn't mean you don't see a lot of other more traditional promotional discount merchants coming on stream, the Targets, the Walmarts. The outlet centers tend to be more pedestrian-oriented. They're encouraging cross-shopping and a longer stay, and we tend to be a hybrid between a promotional center and a true manufacturer's outlet. Our target audience is a fashion audience. We're targeting the larger metropolitan area, much like an outlet center would, but you're not going to see true manufacturer outlets in this project.
Now, you were not on the Common Council when the initial master plan came about in 2005, I think it was.
That's right.
Was there any concern, though, when you got into this discussion about the idea of taking the existing buildings that were there and reverse engineering them, if you will, into a retail space? I know the city had initially thought of it as, you know, just basically replacing everything that was there with something that is new. How tricky was it to get on board with this re-engineered plan?
There's two pieces to that. The first is re-engineering the buildings and using, you know, the structure that's there, and that's fantastic. And, you know, TOSA has a good history of that, largely more on the east side of North Avenue and down in the village where there are 100-year-old buildings and things that have been reinvented time and time again. You know, there is a strong culture of that in Wauwatosa, and, you know, that part was quickly and warmly embraced, and we like to see some of the benefits of that. As far as kind of reworking the plan, that this was, you know, if a mixed-use development has three different types of uses, this is a little different in that we're not bringing in a mix in the same ratio at first. But I saw how, you know, there's good potential for bringing in a lot of the one and then filling in more with the other as we go on. And I think that was really where the discussion went and ultimately where the Common Council was satisfied that while it might be heavy on one use at the outset, that's what's doable at this point. That's really, frankly, it will bring some new type of attraction to the area. And then beyond that, we still have an opportunity to fill in a good portion of the site with those other uses and behavior in that regard. And I think it, from what I've seen of Tim's intended phasing and even kind of his napkin scratches about the next couple of steps, I really think that's coming to fruition now, and we had made the right move.
Tim Blum, I live in Wauwatosa. I've driven past the site any number of times in recent days, and you clearly have the previous buildings stripped down to their bones. Have there been challenges that have cropped up as you got into this? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have gone into it this way if you didn't mainly know what to expect. Has everything gone according to plan when you're dealing with buildings that are 50 and 60 years old?
I think our experience in this space allowed us to anticipate a lot of those surprises. But even then, you know, we encountered, for example, underground fuel tanks that we didn't know existed that we have to work through to remediate. And soils aren't necessarily in the best condition, so we had to mitigate some of those situations. But largely, we haven't encountered anything that I would call catastrophic. You know, I suppose all the work we're doing on Burleigh, given we've got to work through issues with DOT and city's engineering department, those can be challenging. But, you know, we're working through it. But I think thus far we're in pretty good shape.
I'll just add on to Tim's comment about Burleigh. You know, one big benefit for the city, in addition to having something terrific built at the Burleigh Triangle and immediately attracting attention to adjacent areas, we knew that Burleigh was kind of a smaller road that would not be big enough to serve what eventually needed to grow along Burleigh and even east and west of that area. We were really fortunate they were able to work with HSA and with Tim to put a plan together that allows him to do the work that we would have had to do anyway. And we don't have to pay for that effort directly out of our budget today. We don't have to put off other infrastructure work that we would do. And at the same time, very soon, as I understand it, the work on Burleigh will be done. And we'll have a shiny new road that will attract, again, people not just to this project and the ones across the street, but will also serve as a new entry point into the Mayfair corridor.
And meanwhile, everything is in course for, as you say, an April grand opening for this first phase?
That's the plan.
Well, best of luck to you, Tim Blum. Craig Wilson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Craig Wilson is a Wauwatosa alderman. Tim Blum is Executive Vice President of HSA Commercial Real Estate, which is building the Mayfair Collection development on Wauwatosa's western edge. They'll both talk about that project at the Real Estate Strategies Conference this afternoon at Marquette University. Later in the program, another former manufacturing space is repurposed as an indoor skateboard park. But first, an update on a project called Legacy Letters, which we first introduced to you some time ago. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.